Let's sing that song that they started us off with. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. You know, as Gail was talking, and you gave me sermon material for the next 6 months, okay? And we sing, it's one of the kids' songs that we sing. He's got the whole world in his hands. Not only kids, I used to lead it at Garden Village all the time, and they enjoy it too. We believe that God has got the whole world in his hands. But do we? You know, that's just really a challenge, because we say we believe things, and it's all right to be really, really strong in our belief, but do we allow our belief to affect how we live and how we think? And do we really believe that God's got the whole world in his hands? When everything's falling apart and going crazy, do we believe that God has the whole world in his hands? You see, now that's not even my message. That's a holdover from yours. All right. Today is the last day of the old year. Tomorrow is a brand new year. So let me just say Happy New Year to you and yours for tomorrow. And tomorrow we have a brand new opportunity. A new year. Did you get that? We have an opportunity. A chance to do something better next year than what we've done this year. Anybody willing to change next year to have things better for you? All right, there you go. Thank you. Most of us say we will change, but you know, is there anybody here resistant to change? Everybody raise your hand. You know, I used to hate getting into a routine, because a routine is just a rut. But sometimes I'm pretty comfortable in a rut now. You know, the older I get, the more the routines are more comfortable. But sometimes when we get into a routine, I wonder if we get so stuck in our routines that sometimes we need to be shaken just a little bit to get out of our routines. We're going to have a lot of opportunities that's going to come our way next year. We should probably take advantage of them. But the problem is opportunities generally come as a result to a problem. And if you have no problems, chances are you have no opportunities. Everybody with me on that? Because when we have a problem, we generally stop, do a self-evaluation, and see what needs to change to fix the problem. We find an opportunity. So Lord knows I'm not going to be praying for any problems. But I think in the book of James, the Bible does say, you know, they count it all joy when these things come. We're supposed to rejoice, because I guess probably the key to it is we're going to have an opportunity if we evaluate our problem. So next year, we're going to have plenty of opportunities. And we don't have a clue what's going to happen next year. Anybody here good for seeing the future? Only two things for certain: death and taxes. Well, taxes is for certain, but death is not. The Lord could return, and then we're out of here. So we get to cheat death. Yes, I'm looking forward to that. What I want to do today, to kind of get a clear view forward into 2018, is to review what we've talked about during the year 2017, and see if there's anything that we can look at and take with us as we move into the new year. All right? So let's bow our heads first. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for another year. Father, thank you for an opportunity tomorrow, although we're not promised tomorrow. But if things continue as they are, we'll see tomorrow, and a brand new will begin. So let's take advantage of the new year. Help us look at some things today that may better prepare us and enable us to move into the new year. So Father, we just trust you. Help us to move from saying we trust to actually living our trust. Thank you that Gil has so well pictured that today. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We started 2017 by looking at a man. And this guy was good at finding solutions to problems, and his name was Joshua. You remember Joshua had the unenviable task of following the greatest leader probably that's ever been. And the people that he was going to be leading were bullheaded, belligerent, and arrogant. How would you like to lead that lot? And not only that, the people he was going to be leading to go in and take the promised land, the people in there, they were strong, vicious. So Joshua, taking over the reins of Israel, leading a bullheaded and arrogant bunch of people to overcome vicious and strong people. How would you like those odds? I mean, I don't think I would like those odds, but Joshua had a promise. Now remember, promises is not money. Promises are not talent. Promises is not personal ability. Promises is something that somebody says that you can count on. All right? And Joshua had a promise. And let's look at this promise. Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. We'll read that. Joshua had a promise. This is what God says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now listen to this. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Listen, Joshua. I am with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. There's the promise. And because, Joshua, that I'm going to be with you, I won't leave you or forsake you. Joshua, this is how I want you to act. And Gail's already read it to us. Joshua 1, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Can I just make an evaluation? Sometimes we think it's not all that Christian to be strong and courageous. We want to just kind of slink away and not cause any confusion. Folks, we need to be strong and courageous as we move into the new year. God goes on, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. He repeats it twice. Being careful to do all according to the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. So Joshua, listen, this is what God wants Joshua to do. First, be strong and courageous. Secondly, do everything according to the law that I gave to Moses. Thirdly, don't get distracted for any reason. And fourth, then you will have success. You think that's good advice for us in the new year? Let's look at that advice to us. He wants us. Be strong and courageous. Number two, do what God has told us to do. Don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to be afraid of the culture and not do it. Do what God has told us to do. Thirdly, don't get distracted in any way. Anybody here prone to distraction? Anybody spend some time on the internet? Come on, be honest with me. If you're not real careful, and I do a lot of searches and things like that. The media will throw something up in front of you. You're going here to, or you can go there. All of a sudden, this comes up, and you never get there. And if you're not real careful, you won't even look what you wanted to find out because you're so distracted checking all these other things that, I mean, you know, about the cricket, you know. I like cricket. Good old Steve Smith. You got to be careful. But listen, God told Joshua, don't be distracted from the right to the left. And for you and me, don't be distracted from what God told us to do. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter if everything falls apart. Don't be distracted. Keep your focus on God. We sing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. Listen to the promise. And then, if we do that, the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Don't get distracted. Only trouble when I'm going like this, I've got three of them pointing back at me. Don't get distracted in the new year. Did God trust Joshua to do what He told him to do? Sure He did, because Joshua had already proven himself. You remember when Moses sent the 12 spies over? 10 of them come back and say, it ain't no way. There ain't no, we're too weak. They're too strong. They're going to kick us all over the place. No way. Two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, let's get them. Against all odds, let's take them. Do you remember the names of the other men? But the two people said, let's trust God. What's their name? Why do we remember their names? They trusted God. It's good things to think about as we move into the new year. Then God took Joshua's faith and elevated him to the lead role in Israel. And 14 years later, Palestine was conquered. And then Joshua did what God told him to do and distribute the land among all the people. So we can learn from Joshua. Trust God. Don't get distracted. Keep your focus on God. Then you'll have success. The second thing we looked at last year was what arguably the greatest prayer in the Bible, which we know is to be the Lord's Prayer. Say it with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It just rolls off our tongue, doesn't it? Talking about memorizing Scripture, Gail. Everybody here has memorized that one. We'd only have to work at it. It's easy for me because I've got to use it in every service at Garden Village. They expect it. So, but folks, that is such a powerful prayer. And let's just look at it just a second. First, we find out who God is. Probably the greatest concept, bar none, in our lives is to have a proper view of God. And that is, there is a God. He is the creator of all things. There is nothing in the world that has life that doesn't owe it to Him. Nothing breathing that He didn't give life to. And then look at the next phrase. Hallowed be Your name. This is nothing but worship. Let me ask you a question. How often do you take the time to worship? Well, I'm busy serving you, Lord. I'm busy doing this and that and that. You know, the Martha syndrome? You know, staying so busy that we just get kind of beside ourselves. But we're so busy. But how often do we take the time just to worship? Are we people of worship? Ask yourself that question. Do you take time to worship? What is worship? Worship is adding worth or giving worth to someone. How many times have you just made the point to thank God for who He is and worship Him and praise Him for who He is? That's so important. And that's part of the prayer that Jesus told us to pray. Hallowed be Your name. And then He says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, folks. How many of us really want God's will to be done in our lives? There's some heads going this way. Can I push it a little further? Even if it's going to cause you discomfort, who wants God's will for your life? Will we pray with Jesus? Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Now, and only now, does Jesus allow us to pray for our own needs. First, recognizing God, worshiping Him, giving Him and telling Him His will be done. Then we can ask for our own needs. Let me ask an honest question. You know what I'm going to ask. How many of us go straight to the Lord with our laundry list of needs before we do anything else? When we pray. I have made a conscious effort, and believe me, it is hard. Because if I want to pray about something, I'll just get right into it real quick and tell the Lord what I want. I've made a conscious effort. Every time I sit down to pray, I first spend just a few minutes praising Him and thanking Him for what He's already done. Even if it's just as little as saying, thanks for the rain last night. Hey, we got 5 inches in Port Macquarie last week. That'll teach me to pray for rain, won't it? Yeah, I'm going to tell you something that Isaac and I did last night. He went with me out to the Tacking Point. You don't mind me telling this, do you? All right, okay. We went out to Tacking Point Lighthouse last night. We're going to do some photography. So I gave him a camera and I had a camera and we were having a good time. And God was good to us, wasn't He? There was a storm coming up the coast and we had a storm and a sunset all together over Lighthouse. Wow! It just happened. I looked at Isaac and said, God was good. We just praised Him. Good stuff, wasn't it? And then we just prayed, you know, we just, God, thank You. You caused this to happen. Well, is that worth praising God over? You betcha. Just praise God. Just praise God. Even when you stump your toe, praise God. Might keep you from breaking your leg, okay? And then we can ask for the Lord to meet our needs. You reckon God will meet our needs? I'm going to share with you a promise, Philippians chapter 4, 19 and 20, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. Did He just say that? Yeah, He said He'd meet our needs. And look how Paul responds after he said that. Verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So once Paul talks about God's going to meet all of our needs, he explodes in praise. How often do we do that, folks? How often do we get so overcome by something God says that we just explode, either openly or fall on our knees or within our heart, just praise Him and worship Him? I'll be honest with you, if we became a praising church, it'd scare some people to death. But you know what? when God's people praise, I think God stands back and says, this is good. We need to be a praising church. But Paul said, God will meet our needs according to His riches and glory. And then Jesus tells us, and I like this one, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yeah, I like that. Well, one thing for certain, the Bible says it, God's never going to lead you into temptation anyway, so don't blame Him. I think the Bible says if you're tempted, it's your own fault. Okay, just thought you would see if you were with me. So God's not going to tempt us, but one thing He can do is to protect us from the evil one. Now, I like that. And Jesus told us we can pray that. I find myself praying that regularly. And then Jesus says this. Listen, for thine, say it with me, is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. He begins His prayer with praise. He ends His prayer with praise. So what should we do? Jesus said we're to do the same thing. So let's be people of praise in the new year. And then we looked at our real reason for being on earth as we went through purpose-driven life. I'll go through them quickly. We were created for God and His purposes. We were playing for God's pleasure, worship. I like what John Piper said, God is most glorified by those who are most pleased with Him. Are you pleased with God? He's greatest glorified in that. Number three, we were created to be like Jesus. We were made for family, the family of God. We were designed for service, and on the day we talked about that, we honored all of our volunteers. Do you remember that? We had everything catered in. Not that it was any better than what our ladies do. We had everything catered in. That way the ladies wouldn't have to cook. But we had a good day of honoring our volunteers. Then we were made for mission, and that mission is to make disciples of Jesus. That's what we're here for. And then next we talked about a man who ran away from God. You ever run away from God? Maybe He's asked you to do something that you didn't want to do and you ran. This man ran away from God, but God didn't let him get too far. Jonah got on a boat and took off going the opposite direction from where he's supposed to go, but God says, I know where he is. He sends a storm along and he just shakes the thing so much that the sailors finally take Jonah and throw him off down in the ocean. Done with that. Nope. God sends a fish. And I'm sure that was an opportunity for clear thinking for Jonah. He came to himself and he began. Said, all right, God, give me another chance. Give me another chance. Then the fish, off he comes. And because this backslidden preacher got it right, a whole city called Nineveh was saved because one backslidden preacher got it right. With God's persuasion, of course. So folks, maybe during this next year, God may ask you to do something that you're very uncomfortable with. See, Jonah didn't like the Ninevites for some reason. Matter of fact, he was biased, arrogant, and belligerent against them. He didn't want them to live. He wanted them to be destroyed. And says, God basically said, Jonah, I don't care what you want. I told you what to do. Get it done. Jonah went and did it, and God spared him. Folks, let's not run from God, because whenever we run from God, wherever you're going, He's already there. I know, I've tried it. It doesn't work. So we can learn a lot from Jonah in the new year. And then we talked about, finally, is Jesus in control of your life? Is He? Is He control? Does He have the right to be our leader and Lord? You betcha He did. He purchased that right in the most excruciating way when He died on the cross of Calvary and paid for our sin and purchased our redemption through His blood back to God. He earned that right. And He promised us the same thing that God promised Joshua. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just like God told Joshua. And He even told us the same thing that God told Joshua. Joshua told him, said, be strong and courageous. And Jesus says many times in the New Testament, don't fear. Same thing. Joshua was successful. Will we be? We have similar promises. And we know that God was with Joshua, but you see, God is with us. Every person here today who has invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, you have the same God living within you that made Joshua successful. And that's in the person of the Holy Spirit. So folks, don't let a new year scare you. Because there's going to be wonderful opportunities presented to us. But remember, opportunities come by recognizing and finding solutions to problems. And when that problem comes, as Gail said, thank you, you lay the foundation for my message this morning. Don't look at the problem. Look at the promise giver. So 2018, what's God going to do with us? Well, first of all, we don't have a clue. But are you all right with that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What's the rest of it? In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. So trust in Him. Don't try to figure it out. I don't like that. I generally like to know what I'm getting myself into. But since God's smarter than me, I've got to yield to Him. So lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. But I do like a little bit of wisdom for the journey. How about you? Well, we're going to start a journey through the book of James. And there is a promise in the book of James that tells us about that little bit of wisdom. Listen to what he says. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it generously to all without reproach. If you ask, he'll give it, and we can count on it. Do you believe that? Now, one thing to think about, and we'll talk about this when we get into it. For those of us that ask for wisdom and God gives it, we need to act on it, because if we don't, James basically said we're unstable. Half cocked, maybe. I don't want to be unstable, do you? So when God gives wisdom, let's act on it. Let's not be unstable, half-hearted. Let's go for it. But make sure God gives the wisdom. So folks, the new year's upon us. Like I said, I don't have a clue what the new year's going to hold. If the Lord returns, I don't care about anything else. Just, we're out of here. But if he decides to wait for another year, I'll expect him in 2019. But we've got to occupy till he comes, which is what we'll do next year, Lord willing. So let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word as you instruct us on how to live in our lives. Thank you that even in situations where we don't have a clue what's happening, we can rest assured that you do, and you have an answer. Help us, Lord, to literally apply what we heard from that old song, just turn our eyes upon Jesus and look into His face. Then things will become much more clear. And Father, as we move into the new year, we do ask for wisdom to deal with anything that comes our way. Give us the wisdom to find the opportunity in a problem. Father, you've promised that. And that we're going to count on it and we're going to respond and act upon it. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And it would be good to begin reading through the book of James. All right. Thanks. Happy New Year tomorrow.